Look with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Hebrews, chapter 5. And while you find Hebrews 5, let me say by way of introducing this. In a lengthy writing about spiritual gifts, the Apostle Paul, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 through 14, is talking about the miraculous gifts that were a part of the church in its infancy. And that when the church came to maturity through the complete revelation of the Word of God, Paul said, then those things that were with the church in its immaturity, when the church reached maturity, then the immaturity would be put away. And as he talked about that, he used himself as an analogy. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 11, Paul said that when I was a child, I spoke like a child. And he said, when I was a child, I reasoned like a child. And when I was a child, I thought like a child. But he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. When the church became mature, it put away the things in its immaturity, its infancy. Paul says, when he became mature, he put away immaturity. I want to address tonight the subject of maturity, not from a physical viewpoint, but from a spiritual one. So let's look at Hebrews, the fifth chapter, and let's start with verse 11. About this, we have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Now, why is it hard to explain? Since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. There are many people who assume that because you grow old, that you mature as well. I never forget a cartoon in a newspaper I saw of a grown man standing there, and he had a video controller in his hand. And the caption was, just because I'm 40 years old, just because I've never ever had a job, just because I live in my parents' basement, and just because I play video games all day, that does not make me immature. That is exactly what makes you immature. Now, listen carefully, this statement, listen carefully. The passing of years do not always bring maturity. The passing of years do not always bring maturity. Either on a physical level or on a spiritual level. Christians, people who have been Christians 5 years, 10 years. People who have been Christians for 15 years who still talk about growing out of their temper. People who have been Christians for 15 years who still talk about growing out of lying all the time. 15 years. Still talk about, well, I just wish I could control my tongue. Listen, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. Now, the book of Hebrews, this letter was addressed to a group of Christians who never spiritually matured. And today, like then, there are those Christians today who have reached a certain level of maturity, which isn't far from where they were when they were converted, and they have remained in that state of spiritual immaturity. So here in Hebrews 5, in an entire letter that was addressed to a group of Christians who never spiritually grew up, in Hebrews 5, the writer gives three indicators of spiritual maturity. Let's look at it again, Hebrews 5 and verse 11. By this time, you have much to say, but it's hard to explain to you since you have become dull or slow of hearing. Three things necessary for spiritual growth. The first one is found right here in verse 11, and it's this. Spiritual maturity is the ability to do more than just grasp basics of the faith. Spiritual maturity is the ability to do more than just be able to grasp or to understand the basics of the faith. Now look what the writer says in verse 11. He says, I have a lot that I need to say to you. There's much that needs to be said, but he says, I can't address these things to you. And he says, the reason is, he says, you are dull or you are slow of hearing. Now I want you to understand what that means. The reason they were slow of hearing, the reason their hearing was dull in spiritual matters, is not because they weren't smart enough to grasp what was being said. Their problem in understanding what was being said to them, their problem was not a lack of intelligence, their problem was laziness. And that's what he's setting forth here. Your hearing concerning spiritual things are dull. They're dull. And there are many New Testament Christians today. There are many New Testament Christians today. And they, like these Christians here, have absolutely no desire to dig into the Word of God. They will be here on Sunday morning, sometime between 5 after 11 and quarter after 11. And they will come two or three Sundays a month. And I'm going to tell you something else. You better not expect anything more out of them. You better not expect anything more out of them. Spiritual maturity is about being able to grasp, lay hold, and understand more than just the basics. The problem that these Christians had, who the book of Hebrews is addressed to, is exactly the same problem that many Christians have today. The problem is not that they are unable to understand this. The problem is they're unwilling to understand this. Now watch the analogy he makes, verse 12. Watch this. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone else to teach you the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the power of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish between good from evil. Now, in those verses, he's making an analogy. He's saying the analogy is between a person, a physical person, a baby who is born, and how a baby gets from infancy to maturity. And he analogizes that with a Christian who is born again in birth spiritually, and they grow to maturity. Now, let's look at his analogy. First, let's take the person. A baby is born into this world. When the baby is born, we feed the baby milk. That's it. When a baby is born, we don't hand it a ham sandwich. Why? They're not mature enough. They can't handle this. Number one, they couldn't hold it. And number two, if they did, they wouldn't know what to do with it. It's a ham sandwich. They're not ready for that yet. They're not mature enough for that. So we give them milk. Then they have that for a while, and then they start eating that mush out of the baby food cans. It's mush, but it ain't milk, so they're happy. And so we feed that to them for a while. And then they get a little more mature. When they get a little more mature, then we start giving them food, but it's food that's real soft and mushy again. We've gone from mush in a bottle to now mush is just on the table. And so we give them that. But then as they mature, they end up with that ham sandwich. And they end up, you know, with those 4,946 Happy Meals. They mature with that. Now, listen carefully about the physical body that's growing up. Listen. When that person goes from milk to solid food, the fact that it's able to consume solid food is not only a sign that this person is maturing, but the fact that they're able to take in solid food is absolutely necessary for their maturity. Did you hear what I said? And did you understand what I said? I mean, if somebody's 15, 16 years old and all they're still getting is baby food, listen, that's something's wrong. The child is now taking in solid food. Okay, so the child is growing up, but the child has to take that food in order to grow up. Now, same thing is true spiritually. When a person becomes a Christian, everybody becomes a Christian the same way they are born again. Water and the Spirit. And when they are born again, they are babes. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. So we give them the milk of the word. Well, what is that? That's the basics. We tell them about conversion. We talk to them about the church. We talk to them about the five acts of worship. We talk to them about why we meet on Sunday. And we give to them, we feed them the basics. But then just like the baby, the physical baby, as they then mature and grow older, then we teach them more about the word. The point is that the whole thing in Jesus Christ is to get from the milk to the solid food of the Word of God. Spiritual maturity is when you have the ability to take in the Word and to take in more than just the basics of the faith. Number two, the second indicator of spiritual maturity here is that spiritual maturity is when you have the ability to feed yourself and to share with others what you have learned. Spiritual maturity is the ability. It's getting to that point to where you can take the Bible and feed yourself, and having fed yourself, you can then turn and teach to others what you yourself have learned. Now let me show you something real important in this passage. Look at verse 12. For though by this time, pause right there. By this time. By this time. I'm gonna shock you. You know which time he's talking about? At that point, when they received that letter, they had been Christians between 20 and 25 years. By this time, at least 20 years, you ought to be able to teach others. Spiritual maturity is about being able to teach yourself and then in turn to teach others. Now here's a complaint that you hear. Christians say, well, I'm just not being fed on Sunday at church. Because, see, it can't be anything they've not done. Well, I'm just not being fed. Now, let me say this about that. The problem that the vast majority of us have is that we are not dying of spiritual malnutrition because we're not being fed on Sunday. We're dying of malnutrition because we're not feeding ourselves Monday through Saturday. If you fed yourself physically, like you fed yourself spiritually, you'd be sick and weakly physically too. If you got up Sunday and you sat down at the table and you had eggs and bacon and whatever, and then you turned in and had chicken, and then you turned in and had steak, and then you turned in and had potatoes, and then you turned in and ate something green, because you're supposed to eat something green, and if you turned in and ate something green, you'd be full. But if you didn't sit down and eat again till the next Sunday, you'd be sick about Wednesday or Thursday. If we fed ourselves physically like we feed ourselves spiritually, we'd be weak and sickly. We would. If a person is spiritually mature, they know how to feed themselves, but then they also know how to share with others what it is they have learned. The way you know you have learned something, the way you know you really have learned it, isn't because you can stand up and mimic what somebody else said about it. And it isn't because you've memorized what somebody else said about it, and so you get up and just parrot what they say. The way you know you have really learned it is when you dig it out, when you understand it, and then you can explain it to somebody else in your own words. If you learn it so that you can explain it and teach it to somebody else, you got it. You own that. Spiritual maturity is about me being able to feed me, and having done that, the mark of spiritual maturity is then me being able and willing and eager to teach somebody else what I have learned. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, what I have taught you, you go and teach others so that they can go and teach others also. Look, let's do this. Hold Hebrews 5, but go to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. Let's read the verse. It'll be familiar to it, and I'm going to give you the background of it. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you the reason of the hope that is within you, and do it with gentleness and respect. And in other words, you know, be ready to tell people what you believe and why you believe it. Now, the background of this, in the English Standard Version uses the word defense, which is the right word, is that these Christians were being taken to court because of their faith. And they were being taken to court, and in court, they were then being told, you explain to us what it is you are, and what it is you believe, and what it is you're trying to spread. And so Peter tells them, listen, you be ready, so if that happens to you, you can stand and defend your faith. Spiritual maturity is when I'm able to do more than just take in the basics, the milk of the word. Spiritual maturity is about me being able to feed myself and having learned it, then me turning and sharing it with somebody else. And a lot more evangelism would be done if we spent a lot more time teaching ourselves. If we had something to say, a lot of us would say it. Number three, the third indicator of spiritual maturity here in Hebrews 5 is found in verse 14. And that is being spiritually mature. You have the ability to make good decisions. Look at verse 14. But solid food is for the mature. All right, what about the mature? It's those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. A mark of spiritual maturity is that you make good decisions. Let me add this to that. A mark of spiritual maturity is when you make everyday decisions that all of us do, but you make these decisions daily that are going to bring you closer to Christ. That's the key. We make decisions. We make decisions every day. We make all kind of decisions. But a spiritually mature person, when they make a decision, they're going to say, now look, will this affect my relationship with the Lord? Will this bring me closer to the Lord, or will it take me further away? If it takes you further away, that I'm not going, I'm not doing it, I won't. Don't look for me because I won't be there. It's making decisions that bring us closer to Jesus. A spiritually mature person is able to distinguish right from wrong. They're able to distinguish true from false. And they're able to distinguish good from bad. A spiritually mature person is able to do that. Because a lot of people will holler at you about the truth and nothing coming out of their mouth is going to be true. You have to be able to discern, to distinguish what's right and what's wrong. And a spiritually mature person, when you get to the point to where you're able to understand more than just the basics, the milk is great. I'm away from the milk. And when you can get into the food, to the meat of the word, and you're able to understand it, then you're able to make those decisions, because a lot of times people will come to you and they will talk to you and they will say something to you, or they will say they believe such and so. But if you're a spiritually mature person, when you hear something that doesn't register right, this brain up here says, whoop, that didn't sound right. That didn't sound right. But if you're not spiritually mature, you're just going to go whichever way the wind is blowing. Because somebody's going to tell you something that isn't true, and there'll be two of them standing there, and one of them will lie about it, and the other one will swear to the lie. And then the three of you will be walking down the street because now you believe it. Maturity. Talking this morning, it's knowledge. It's growing. Faith comes from hearing the word of God. The more of this I know, the more of this I understand, the greater my faith becomes. maturity isn't determined by who hoops and hollers the most in church. Spiritual maturity isn't determined by how high you can jump. Let me tell you something. What matters is how well you live after your feet hit the ground here. Spiritual maturity. I'm able to grasp more than the basics. Spiritual maturity. I'm able to feed myself. And now having learned that, I want to teach somebody else something. And spiritual maturity is about making good decisions. It's about making those decisions that will bring me closer to Jesus. And then in chapter 6, he goes on, you head into perfection. You head into this spiritual perfection. Because as long as we live spiritually immature, there's danger everywhere. There's danger everywhere. And people will lead you astray. And people will tell you things that in your mind you will think, well, that sounds right. But it's not right at all. Strive for spiritual maturity. That comes through understanding the Word of God. Get a system. Get a system. Read the Bible. Don't read the Bible just so you can check off that you read the Bible that day. That's not reading the Bible. Just don't read it and go put the check there and go on about your business. Sit down, and even if it's a verse, just read that one verse. And then as you go through the day, think about that verse. How does that verse apply to me? How do I see that verse out here today? You say, but it's just one verse. Yeah, but at the end of the week, you'd have 7 of them. You say, well, that's nothing. Well, it's 7 more than you know while you're sitting here right now. So it's a little something, amen? Do a little every day. Do a little every day. And before long, that little will become a lot. If you're here this afternoon, if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to become a New Testament Christian. You don't have to wait till next Sunday. You don't have to wait till Wednesday. You don't have to wait at all. You can obey the gospel tonight. If you're here and you're away from Christ, listen, it's great that we're here, amen? It's great that we're here, but look, don't leave if you're not right. Don't leave if you're not right. Get right with God. If you need to come, you do it right now as together we stand and as we sing.